about PSW or technology, but I will just cover like in our nuclear plants, what are the major safety concepts which are adopted. So basically our safety goal is no significant radioactive impact in public domain. And how do we take care of this goal is through principle of LRA, as low as reasonably achievable, defense in depth, and using deterministic and probabilistic safety principles. So actually I will try to, because of the time limitations, I will just quickly cover the safety aspect and come to the main topic. So defense in depth actually has the concept of physical barriers, so whereby the radioactive part of the fuel, there are many barriers. Okay. Yeah.
Go forward and backward.
With this. Okay. And again, the exclusion zone is there. Defense in depth are achieved also by the way the operations are carried out through the highly trained and licensed manpower. Then there are defined specifications for operations, emergency operating procedures, maintenance and in-service inspection, and then also learning the lessons from operating experience world over. Then we also do the refurbishment of our plant and safety review and relicensing process. So this is how the defense in depth is achieved through operations. Relicensing is actually every 5 years. So the safety focus of R&D activities, our Directorate of Technology Development has 4 verticals. One is R&D facilities, second is remote tooling, third is indigenization, and fourth is construction time minimization. So basically the safety focus of R&D activities related to defense in depth is safety codes validation, experimentation, design performance verification, remote tooling support to ensure safe operation, then indigenization of critical nuclear components, and modular construction for safe, speedy and quality construction. Related to the post Fukushima event, basically the event has brought out one major lesson, that one has to think safety beyond design basis and provide for it, like use one's imagination to think of all the severe scenarios which can occur beyond design basis. So this can be achieved through having a provision for passive cooling. Then one can have hookups which can push water into the process systems. Then we have to take care of hydrogen management and also the fission product mop-up in case of severe accident, and lastly the containment hard vent system. So these are the areas of focus which came out in post Fukushima, and our activities are covering this. So this just quickly gives how India's program has evolved over a period of time. So we are now constructing 4 units of 700 megawatt projects. These are our plants. Just to give a visual feel of what
there were lots of plants over there,
no, that is those are all 220, 540. Actually, we have around 20 units operating all over India at 7 sites. But 4 are under construction and those are 700 megawatt PHWR. Our program started with Rajasthan, where it was 220 megawatt unit, then Kalpakkam, MAPS, Narora, Kakrapara, so Kaiga, these were all 220 units. Then in Tarapur 3-4, around 2005, the two units of 540 megawatt got constructed. And then we had faced the issue of fuel shortage. Then it was decided that instead of launching further 540 megawatt units, we will upgrade them and redesign them for 700 megawatt output. So essentially the concept of 540 and 700 as far as the reactor is concerned is essentially same, but we have gone ahead and enhanced the other features of 700 to give a better safety enhancement. So that is the, with that in around 2010 we have launched the 704 units, two at Kakrapara, Kakrapara 3 and 4, and two units at Kota, Rajasthan 7 and 8. So this just gives a, this gives a feel of how a typical twin unit reactor nuclear power plant looks like. So these are the reactor buildings surrounded by reactor auxiliary buildings. This is a control building. These are the turbine buildings. And this is for waste management. These are some IDCT cooling. And these are the switch, this is switch yard, and these are the natural draft cooling towers. So actually this defense in depth, so this layout of the turbine building has been made in such a way that any missile will not hit the safety related structures. So this is the layout which has been arrived. Missile means in case the turbine blades or anything fly out. So that is high energy this thing. So basically we started with a design of 540, and then our brief was how can we operate it from 540 to 700. So this is roughly 25% increase in power. So what we have done is gone for boiling in the channels. So these pressurized heavy water reactor individual channels are there. We have 392 channels in 540, 700 reactors. So basically what was done was to see what are the margins available in the fuel rating, and then primary flow we have enhanced along with going for boiling of around 3%. With this we could extract extra power, and for the extra power we had to do some redesign of our steam generators and we have added new systems. So this just gives a feel of what a reactor building consists of. Reactor is here actually. This is the Calendia vault where the reactor sits. Both sides are the fueling machine vaults where the online fueling takes place. Above the reactor are the steam generators. So primary circuit basically gives the heat into the steam generator. Steam goes out to the turbine building. Now, because the reactor is below and the heat sink is above, we get natural thermosiphon. So here we can see the steam generators. This is a new system we have added in 700. which is essentially isolation condenser, or we call it passive decay heat removal system. And these are the emergency core cooling system. We have the design basis accident is loss of coolant accident, wherein the primary system is breached. In that case, we have a set of high pressure accumulators which will initially inject the water into the reactor, and subsequently there will be a recirculation phase where the pumps will operate. All the water will collect at the basement, and this water will be cooled through a heat exchanger and put back into the reactor. So this just gives a feel of our reactor. Now the design has slightly changed, but you can see that these are the channels. These are the individual feeders which feed the water circulated by primary coolant pump. So these are the primary coolant pumps. This pump is here. These are the motors. Each motor is having 6 megawatt rating. These are the steam generators, and we have the reactor. This is just showing one side of it. This we have a shutdown cooling system. This is an active system for decay heat removal. Okay, this is a pressurizer bleed condenser. So, and these we call the headers or manifolds. This is actually the suction arrangement we have devised. In the earlier reactors, we have a large pool of water which is called suppression pool, and that takes water. But to save on the height of the building, some optimization of the civil portion of the reactor building was done, and we have introduced a new arrangement for the suction of the emergency core cooling system. And these are the manifold of multi strainers. So this is just showing how the various options were actually looked at during the design conceptualization stage. This is showing the concept of passive decay heat removal system. So you have the primary system connected to the reactor here, and in case of station blackout, no power supply is available, the hot water coming out of reactor will circulate through the tube. This heat will be given, and in earlier reactors, this steam would be blown to the atmosphere, and when the depressurization happens in the steam generator to around 5 bars, then we would be injecting fire water into the steam generators to maintain the heat sink. In the case of 700, the earlier because of this arrangement, we were required to do the fire water injection very quickly. So in case the time is less, and if we are not able to inject, there would be an issue. With addition of this system, you get more time for this injection to take place, and this was required because we have gone for a higher thermal power of the reactor, and the inventory management in case of station blackout was an important aspect. Yes. No, we are talking of two different events. One is station blackout. Station blackout means all your power supplies have gone. In our plant, we have got a graded approach to the power supply. All the major loads are class 4, that is from the grid. Then we have the class 3 supply, class 2 and class 1 supply. So class 2 supply is actually diesel generators. Class 3 is diesel generators. Class 2 are the UPS and some of the supplies required for operation of some valves. And class 1 is battery back supply for the very essential loads for monitoring of the plant. So that is a graded approach to the, again, defense in depth. So grid is backed up by diesel generators, emergency diesel generators. Now when we say station blackout, means class 4 is gone, diesel generators have failed to come up. So in that case we have no means to, but diesel generators normally would operate the smaller system, because in case you have any station blackout, reactor will trip. Once it trips, the power level comes down from 100% to the decay power level, which is of the order of 1 to 2%. So you need decay power system which is a few percent capacity, which can be driven by diesel generators, because it doesn't need that huge power supply. For the 100% operation, we need to provide 4 pumps, each having 5 megawatt draw of power for cooling. So this is showing the conceptualization of the passive decay heat removal system. This is the actual implementation of the system in our plant. This is a steam generator. This you can see are the concepts which we have introduced in 700 compared to 540, the changes. So one of the major changes, this reactor building has been lined with steel liner. So this will give a higher leak tightness of the reactor building. Then we have the steam generators which are taller than the earlier 540 steam generators. So they basically contain more inventory, and the design is done, process optimization has been done to give a better level control and other features. These are the accumulators. So basically we have capacities roughly around 150 tons of water in each of these, and that is a capacity we store roughly around 125 tons. So total 500 tons of inventory has been made available in the reactor building. This is during construction. This is a location where primary coolant pump will come. This is the top of the reactor where all the shutdown and reactivity devices would be coming. Okay, you can see just a view of this. Now other thing which we have proposed is that in case of any such event as SBO, we must be able to put water into various process systems without any risk to the operators. So no one has to enter into the reactor building to do any emergency work. And this all hookup schemes we have arrived, like for example, this is hookup scheme for the Calendia, that is it will go into the moderator system directly. This is not the first level of defense. In our case, our first level of defense would be to ensure that passive decay heat removal tanks, we inject water into them, into the steam generator. If we do that, mostly we will not need to do any further thing. Should those things not happen and the channels, we face some problem of cooling, then channels, outside the channel, you have moderator system. So this moderator system will start to boil off after 5 hours. So we can make up the inventory. So this is some new concept we introduced. So this is how it would get implemented. Similarly, hookup schemes have been introduced in other systems. Even in case of LOCA, loss of coolant accident, we can use the hookup scheme to put water into the reactor building so that the suction of the emergency injection pump will remain healthy. So in case there is any bypass of water while coming down, that can be made up. So hookup for the steam generators. Now I am coming to our activity. So these are the four verticals of Directorate of Technology Development. So the first facility, this is our corporate R&D center at Tarapur. So this is a large hall where we do lot of activities. This is another thermal hydraulic facility, integrated thermal hydraulic test facility, which has got one loop for the simulation of 700 megawatt reactor. It is representing the full height of the reactor, but only two channels equivalent. Along with this, there are two facilities of BARC. One is for HWR thermal hydraulic loop, and one loop is for the testing of the fueling machine of HWR. And there is one area here that is for testing of reactivity devices. So these devices, we need a good height for doing that. So this houses all this. This building houses the common power supply. Basically, this facility needs 15 megawatt of DC power supply. So that is quite expensive. So BRC and NPC are sharing those facilities as common facilities, and we have a control room. So various activities which are carried out at R&D center. So this is the ITFT facility. These are the loops there. So on the on this side is NPCI loop. Basically it looks like this. This is the HWR thermal hydraulic loop, where the channels are vertical and here, and this is the boiler which does the cooling. So this elevation difference required in HWR is approximately 40 meters. So this boiler is 40 meters above the channels. In our case also, this height is approximately similar. These are the horizontal channels and these are the steam generators. So we have done, when we have conceptualized the passive decay heat removal system, we have also done some experiments by setting up a small facility in IIT. And later this was transferred to our R&D center, and we have done some experiments. In our plants, we have online refueling system. Basically, this is you can say, quite a complex robot which does online refueling. So we have set up a facility which has done the testing of the new fueling machine for the 700. So the new concept was evolved, and that has been fully performance tested at cold condition. Now we are in the process of providing a hot loop which will do it at the reactor conditions. So these are the views of the facility, fueling machine test facility. These are the channels, and this is the fueling machine head, which does the, and this is a control room. Then post Fukushima hydrogen management has become an issue. So we have constructed a facility, 60 meter cube volume, and it has arrangement to hang this passive catalytic recombiner devices. These catalysts have been developed by BRC. Three different divisions have come out with three different sets of catalysts. So we have done the full testing of these by injecting hydrogen up to roughly around 8%, and based on our these performance studies, we could shortlist the most optimum combination. Now that has been actually commercialized. ECIL is now making these PCRDs, which are going to be backfitted into our reactors. So this is one of the post Fukushima enhancement of safety which is being worked upon. Yes, it is basically in case of any severe accident, fuel will heat up to high temperature, and water and fuel, that zirconium reaction produces lot of hydrogen. In the case of Fukushima also, such hydrogen has actually caused the explosion. So our attempt is to see that basically the performance of this PCRDs are evaluated at the hydrogen level of 4%. Beyond that, it is supposed to become you can say it can ignite. In our case, we could go to higher percentage beyond that, because we have also done the testing along with the steam. With steam environment, it can take higher level of hydrogen. So idea is that in case of severe accident, these devices will limit the hydrogen concentration to below 4%. So this is just showing how the performance, you can see that during, it's an exothermic reaction. So it shows the catalysts have actually worked, and hydrogen concentration has come down with peaking of the temperature. Catalyst temperature goes up to around 600 to 700 degrees C in the process. We introduced a containment spray system, because the suppression pool decision was taken that to delete the suppression pool, because it, due to the volume ratios in the reactor, effectiveness was not very high and it was consuming 8 meter height of the reactor building. So by deleting suppression pool, one can reduce the construction time. But to it also, other than doing the depressurization of the reactor building, it also had the function of scrubbing the iodine. So then in place of suppression pool, we have introduced containment spray system, and this has been also fully designed and tested. These were some droplet studies and then actual spray, and a full-fledged facility was made at Kakrapara. And this is basically seeing the effectiveness of the coverage of the spray. And there are tests going on which shows how effective it is in scrubbing the iodine and other fission products. Now the, in case of such severe accident events, the last defense is in the reactor building, which is supposed to remain leak tight, and if the accident is so severe that design pressure can get exceeded, like in case of Fukushima, the pressure which rose into the reactor building was twice the design pressure. That is a point of time when they have basically panicked and they have decided to vent the reactor building. Otherwise, if the reactor building had exploded, it would have given out much more activity. Now, only thing is, when Fukushima did the venting, they did not have containment hard vent. So this system basically is going to do is to, you can make the vent come through a scrubbing system, and then the whatever comes out will be relatively less radioactive. So the criteria for effectiveness of such system, we say, is decontamination factor of 100. So we have done a set of studies on experimental setup, which has established the approach for, it is a three-tier system, three sets of devices are there, which effectively does the scrubbing. And these experiments have proven that we will get decontamination factors of much more than 100. So these are the various decontamination factors. And this is actually showing the actual vessel, which is around 8 meter in height and 4 meter in diameter. And this vessel has been installed at our one of our plants, 540, and plan is to install these vessels in all the reactors, outside all the reactors. Another thing in case of severe accident is that the instrument should work. So we have done the equipment qualification, which ensures that these instruments and items essential to safety will work in the steam and radioactive environment. So we have a setup which does this for environmental qualification. So this is the radioactive source, and these are the different profiles required to be simulated in the setup, which gives actually the profile estimated during the various loss of coolant accidents. This is temperature and time. It will be over hours. It will be over hours. Basically, in case of loss of coolant, the containment pressure goes up. Pressure and the temperature. So it. So this is a setup for the testing of a new concept of reactivity device. Then we have seen the interaction between the reactivity device, which are vertical, and the channels, which are horizontal, whether during any seismic event, whether there is any significant impact which can cause damage to the channels. So this has proven that there is effectively no damage or anything. Now, this is a new facility. We have something to initiate. Yes. This is a new facility which we are constructing. In fact, the excavation has started last week. This is for testing of the primary coolant pump. So we are in the process of developing indigenous primary coolant pump vendor, and we have said that we will not put any equipment in a new plant without doing a full scale test of the pumps. So this facility, you can see the this facility will come up in, we expect around 3 to 4 years. In parallel, the order is gone to our one of the indigenous vendors, and they have done the design of the pump, and we expect that this will get tested and qualified. So this will be the first time that we would have total indigenous design manufacture of primary coolant pumps. Today we have primary coolant pumps which are manufactured partly in India by a company which is which has a principal, European principal. So remote tooling, our lot of the work is so we have lot of requirement of inspection of the channels, steam generators, and basically taking care of any repair in the plant, radioactive area. So channel inspection system, basically this bar system has been developed in BRC, BARCIS, and to deploy the system we need certain other auxiliary systems also. So partly things are done in MPCIL, partly in BRC, and our team does the coordination of ensuring all these campaigns are carried out so that channel health monitoring is assured. So this is the system. So basically we have the fueling machine bridge. This is our reactor and fueling machine. This system gets mounted on the top of the bridge. And this is the X-drive system and this is a BARCIS system. And then people work on this platform and do the channel inspection. So these are the probes, UT, ultrasonic testing probes and other probes which does the inspection. This shows the sag of a typical channel. Due to the self-weight itself, channel sags. Now we have online fueling which basically pushes the fuel bundles. So up to certain level of sag, it is quite okay. But beyond a certain level of sag, it will be unhealthy for reactor to operate. So we have to monitor the sag of the channel. Now sag increases with time due to the creep, due to the presence of neutron flux, there is creep in the reactor and sag increases. So we have to monitor the channel health with time. One of the technologies which has been found to be very useful in radiation areas is use of lasers for cutting some of the mechanical components. So this really makes our life quite simple, because mechanical cutting is difficult at in a very constrained area, and laser can be focused quite easily and it's quite compact. So we work extensively with RRCAT to do this. So some of the things which have been done with lasers. So, like nut cutting, it's a very tough job to do this, but with laser it's quite simple to do it. We also had some problem of one of some rods falling in the reactor due to some issues, and we had to retrieve the rod. So some special tooling was required. So we could do a full mock-up in our reactivity devices test facility. Okay, I will just quickly describe. We had imagined that it has fallen. Now we don't know which part of the which has fallen. So we imagine that different portions of the rod has fallen. Based on that, we made different type of toolings. So imagining different scenarios, like we assume that okay, it could be the break has happened at some spring. So this type of tool was developed. Then some other tool was developed. This we imagine that it could have happened here. So like this, many tools were developed, and we simulated those things in a perspex tube. The reactivity rods are, they have some mechanical components within them. So we have tried to use this and then done a full mock-up. Not blind, because we can imagine the scenario, do it in a perspex thing. Then this mock-up we did at our R&D center, then we took it to the plant, Kaiga plant. There also the people were trained. So when they have gone on the reactor phase, and then actually retrieval was to be done, because of all this homework, it could be done very easily. So we were given some time limit. We have so many rods. Now if one of them falls, it is reactor can continue to operate. But regulatory body gave some time that make shutdown, you must retrieve it. Otherwise, you cannot restart. So we did all this homework and then retrieved and replaced it by new rod. In the field, probably it has, homework has took, it has taken, you can say, quite a few weeks. We have processes for purchase and all that. So this process has taken maybe months, 3-4 months. So some shutdown was anticipated. Okay, next shutdown is at this point of time. So let us be ready before that. So before the event plant is shut down, we have done all our homework, training of the people who will work in the field. All that has been done, and then it has come out successful. Now actually I'll try to show you a video where we are trying to now virtually do this. We'll see one. So this is the there is some issue of slight leakage in MAPS end shield. It doesn't affect much, but if the leakage increases, we have to identify the leakage and remotely try to plug the leakage. So we are proposing a technology, laser technology. So we are imagining that leak is somewhere here. So how can the laser be focused to fuse the crack? So we have made a mock-up which will simulate this area. And then now we are working with RRCAD to make the tooling, and then, but this leak is very, very small and stabilized. But if ever in future it increases, we have done our homework, we are ready. So in such things, uncertainties are there, but we have tried to see how we can address such things. Actually, I have proposed some mirror and viewing system also along with this visual. that is not known. All you know is in the vault some collection happens. So many liters of water per day. It's very small. So we have history of end-shield leak happened in RAPS. But we know that it is location is not approachable. It is backside of the end shield, and we have to, how do we approach it? So we will cut one of the channels and then put this. This is just sort of visualization of what could be the scenario and then working towards it. Okay, now the indigenization self-powered neutron detectors, these were basically imported till date, and ECIL was manufacturing them through some technology transfer. So we have developed these in India, three vendors, and the concept which we have taken is integral. That means there is no joint between the detector part and the cable part. So we have been able to succeed. Lot of trial errors were done, but now we have got a superior product which is unlikely to. These SPNDs had lot of issue in our Tarapur 3-4 units. Their IR used to go low because of the problem with that. Some weld is there in those detectors. So this has been successfully done, and byproduct of this technology, actually they have been able to make these MI cable heaters for jacket heating of this Bhavini for sodium and all that, those tanks. So such technology has been done. We have done in-core testing of these detectors, and we have seen that the dynamic response is acceptable. Self-powered neutron detectors. So these are basically for flux measurement in the core and flux mapping of the core, neutronic flux mapping of the core. Not uranium. Generally these are cobalt, vanadium, platinum. So they give current in, I think, nano amperes. Not ionization chamber. They are just solid wires with insulation. If I can go back, I'll just show. This is a typical. So this is the emitter. This is a collector, and there is an insulation in between. This is MgO powder here, and these can be, emitter can be inconel, platinum. Another major activity which we have completed is the, so far all our major components for steam generator, all these forgings were imported, and we have done the indigenization of this. For these forgings, NPCIL along with L&T have formed a joint venture company, and this unit, around 2000 crore has been invested in this unit, and we took up the development of the forgings first time. These are the large, very large forgings. Okay, you can guess the dimension seeing this photo. So very thick forgings, and these have been successfully developed, and we could deliver one set of 8 forgings for the steam generator. And then recently, only I think last month, this JV unit has got now a large order for commercial bulk supply of the forgings for the fleet mode. So it was a very challenging job. you can see the special jigs and fixtures required for machining and different type of shapes. So reactivity, we have devised the cobalt absorber rods. So we can put these rods and then the cobalt in pellet forms, they will be available. So basically the rods can be easily dismantled in a BRIT facility. They can retrieve the pellets of this for the radio medicine. So for developing we had to do some experiment. Radiation resistant detectors, pressure transmitters, these have been also developed. Then we have also developed the certain bearings which are required for fueling machine. So these were all imported till date. Then we have developed the electrical penetration assemblies. So these are modular assemblies which are very leak tight, highly leak tight assemblies, and they make life very simple for the construction of the projects. What we have, those were the prototypes made for doing the full set of environmental qualification, but final product is in this shape. So these have been installed at our Kakrapara projects. Then in our steam generator we have got silver gasket. These were also imported. So these have been indigenized and tested and available. Now in our primary system the pipes are quite large, 600 mm diameter, 50 mm thickness, and these pipes normally pipes have to be joined to elbows to make bends, but if we can go for direct bending then we can save the weld joints in the plant and we have less load for in-service inspection and it speeds up the construction of the project also. Later manram uptake, that is radiation dose uptake by the inspection people, is reduced. So this has also been recently developed. So this is just showing that by induction heating the bends could be, and the qualification, yes that would be there, then subsequently heat treatment would be there. So all those processes have, so this particular case we have to do significant testing, qualification testing. So you can see typically how these items have been taken up. Destructive testing is done to make sure that we have the requisite impact mechanical properties and ductility. So these are the impact specimens. Various tests have been done. Now this is showing the ductility of such bends. You can see that there is no cracking in spite of such bending. Now we come to construction time minimization. We have identified around 10 to 12 technologies which can be pursued, but in case of construction, basically modular construction is the way forward, and we have attempted to convert some of the constructions into a more optimal way of doing things. So we are focusing more on the major modular construction and certain aspects of fabrication of critical components which can be speeded up. So basically the economy of nuclear power depends on how quickly we can construct them, and the construction time depends on how quickly we can deliver the major equipment, because we have faced challenges in our current projects. These projects are significantly delayed. Fabrication times are also much higher than even the earlier projects. So we are looking at ways and means to do this. Ideally, the benchmarking has shown that we should be able to construct a plant in 50 to 60 months from first pour of concrete to commercialization. But our existing projects are well beyond that. Significant. We can say 2010 end starting point to today. We are yet to, probably end of the year they may get commissioned. So actually this is preform ring liner. The steel liner for the reactor building, this work used to be done in panel wise. So you have a reactor building which is 50 meter diameter, each panel 5 meter height. Then they had panels of 10 meter. So if you see 50 meter diameter, perimeter is roughly 150 meters. 15 or 16 panels used to be lifted, put in place and welded. So we suggested that it should be done on the ground. Full ring should be lifted, put in place. So lot of the welding can be avoided at height. Lot of work at height can be avoided. And this is parallel construction. So it will save on time. So this concept was actually worked out. A lot of work went into design of the handling arrangement, because when you make a ring which is thin, it has to be properly handled. So this is how it looks when it got implemented. So this is our reactor building, and this is, so in June 2016, this was done first time, prior to that time. Similar to that, we have proposed there are some floors where we can do the work on the ground along with installing major components like headers, and then as a module we can put it on top. All this background homework was done. This is how it got implemented. So these are the floors, two floors for each reactor. Like this, eight modules were placed. See, this is the methodology of dome erection which was happening in the earlier projects. That is, you make a huge structure on the ground, then you dismantle it, reassemble on top of the reactor building, then do the concreting. So we saw that in KK they had made such construction in three segments. So this is how the KK work was done. Then we looked at how the international projects do this. Now thing is that KK and international projects, their dome shape is more hemispherical and diameter is less, whereas ours is probably the largest reactor building in terms of the diameter and size. So our civil group said this cannot be done because our dome is flat and we cannot do this. So we suggested a very simple thing, that in our plant all this steel work is actually effectively getting wasted, because you make this, then later you have to cut it. So this is 600 tons of steel. So we suggested, why not use some of the steel and stiffen it similar to this. And that is how this dome got made. So this weight is around 350 tons. That means you have reduced your structural steel work by 250 tons. And this goes into the reactor building. So it is strengthening the reactor building also. And this is how it got lifted into place. So we have a large crane. So you can see these are the passive decay heat removal system. And we used a new technology. We used a drone to do this filming also. Now we are working on a very ambitious scheme. We are trying to market it actually, that we must do the full reactor assembly in a workshop at site, then pick it up, put it in place, push it. This will save around 10 to 12 months because civil construction will happen in parallel to this. Today, during civil construction, you are individually putting the end shield into the wall. Then you are inserting the calendia in middle, welding in situ, then installing the reactor pressure tubes, calendia tubes. All this work, reactor work is going on in parallel to civil construction. It's not a very healthy thing. Ideal thing is that such critical components, they get made in very controlled workshop environment. But what it needs is a much larger capacity crane, next level of size of crane. So we have done a lot of homework related to this.
Total weight of that?
This will be 720 tons weight. So I think the biggest plane is A380, Boeing 380, 570 tons or something. So it is heavier than a big plane. But we have seen in India itself some projects like Jamnagar refinery, they are able to handle 1400 tons, 90 meter tall modules. So it's not that big a challenge. So we have also proposed that we will do a full rehearsal. So this will be the rehearsal which could be done beforehand. So this is the scheme. You can see the scale of this, which will have to be done outside. So this is our vision for that. So contributing to safe our and reliable operation of NPP, our activities through R&D center and R&D facilities, we are also addressing supply chain constraints, evolving methodologies for quick construction. And of course, if we see, there are many studies which says that construction time is the challenge which has to be met to make nuclear power viable. So that is a universal finding world over. And incidentally, so basically this is work of all colleagues of our directorate at HQ R&D center and colleagues across NPCIL, and of course some of the activities, BARC, RRCAT, they are involved in that. Thing is that even with the delays and all, India's nuclear power cost is coming in the lowest cost percentile. Means similar to Korea, China. That means we have potential to export, because it looks like that to meet that carbon emission target, one cannot do without nuclear. There is an MIT study which is actually telling that the countries like Sweden and France, which have significant portion of power as nuclear, they only can meet that target, whereas Germany, which has adopted this, they are ending up not meeting the target. So this is the fundamental point. So this is the one area where DIE has to look at, and sooner or later we are hoping that people will buy these ideas, and because we have developed a certain track record of implementing these things very successfully in the plants. It looked like we have gone through a cycle of very high resistance to the new ideas, but then it is shown that these things are very much workable. So we are hoping now to market these ideas. We also have done some homework. So this is the concept, how we can assemble the whole reactor in a workshop. This is very much speeded up, but individual activities we have much longer, just for the presentation sake. So all this will be handled. We need to do ball filling for the shielding. So the end shield will be filled with SS balls. This is the calendia. So these have to be welded together. This is the new way of doing in the workshop. The only way I can illustrate this is this will contain waste of probably four families' lifetime. That is a volume of waste. So waste management per se should not be a very big issue. This is that you can say high level waste generation. Effectively this much will be the waste. You can say half a glass full, probably 100 ml or one. See, India is today having certain challenges. Our per capita consumption is one third of world average. World average is anything between 2,500 to 3,000 units. India's average is roughly 1,000 to 1,200. So if we, and they say that around 4 to 5,000 is where one can claim to be fully developed nation. So if we see, there is a requirement of growth in power itself, and then we are only 3%, nuclear power is only 3%, it has to play a very significant role. So nuclear has to come. Only thing is, it depends on how well we do the execution and scale up. We have really not done the scaling up to the level of China or US, France. See, this plant, I can tell the capital cost. Now our Kakrapara 3-4 projects, capital cost was roughly original was around 10,000 crore, 10 or you can say 12,000 crores. Now it may touch 15,000 crores for two units. Now Haryana project, which we are to launch, that is roughly 20,000, you can say 20,000 something crores for two units. So it comes to 16 crores per megawatt. Operational cost is, yes, that will be there. But our tariff is roughly, see, average tariff of NPCL, because it depends plant to plant. Like Tarapur was as low as 92 paise in the recent past. Recently it has been increased. Other some plants are 3.5 rupees. Average is we are some 2 rupees 70 paise. I am giving ballpark figures, not very precise numbers. NTPC average cost is 2 rupees 90 paise. So that means in fact we are lower. I have been questioning why nuclear should be lower. We should jack up our tariff. Decommissioning cost, actually there is supposed to, supposed to be very, recently some decommissioning, some 1 or 2% has been added as a cess. So that 270 became 272 or something, small effect. And we don't expect our sites to get decommissioned soon. There is a reason. Okay, I'll tell you, our biggest struggle is bureaucratic procedures. See, one very fact of life is at the beginning itself we know, in spite of excellent contract management, if you define excellence as 90% plus, you take a project of 20,000 crore, it will have roughly 40 to 50 packages. See, contracts are awarded in specific set of packages. Now if you say 90% is excellent, and I will not say that we are that excellent, so 10%, 5 to 6 packages can go bad. Contracts can go bad. How do you retrieve bad contracts? Our procedures are too cumbersome. It takes, when the project is going on, it takes 1.5-2 years for certain decisions to come through. How can we build projects like that? There has to be mechanisms in place. So we have been arguing internally, why not adopt Delhi Metro approach, things like that. But there are not many takers. Even this SKIA concept, we are struggling to even show it. This is a 7-minute video. There is so much resistance to listen to new ideas. So I don't know, as 7 minutes. That I don't know. Okay. But I am not looking PMO. I am looking for much lower. Okay, I will just in the background play the thing, we can go ahead with the questions. Can you just repeat the first one? Okay. Now, actually, see, this scrubbing is our last resort. First of all, I will come to defense in depth. Why we, actually part of the reason I mentioned is that when people ask, DAE people, why our plants are safe, we should be able to say that really we have a very large defense in depth. So now if you take a normal plant, class 4 power, grid power is working, plant itself is supplying electricity, So it has its own power supply arrangement. So that itself is very reliable. Now next comes, any event happens, we have got 3 diesel generators per unit. So in that also there is a redundancy. So only all 3 fail, then only we have got station blackout. If station blackout happens, we already have the system designed for thermosiphon, and we have shown it, proven it in case of Narora event. So we have that, we now added passive decay heat removal system. That's an addition, but in our existing plants also, people can go and put water into the steam generator through fire water pumps, which are diesel driven. Individual pump is diesel driven. We have fire water pumps which are electric plus diesel driven. So this can be pushed into the steam generator. With that, we don't expect any event to escalate to a level where our channels can fail. Now, so that is one event. Second event is loss of coolant accident. In that case also, we have the accumulators, high pressure accumulators, they will go in. Then the recirculation pumps will come in. They work on the diesel generator, class 3 power. So safety things are on class 3, class 2 power supply. So we expect these things not to escalate. But suppose it escalates, then first line of defense is, we have is, again, you can say injection of water, fire water or fire tender water into the containment spray system to depressurize the reactor building. And that pressure buildup is over a long time. So if you inject fire water into the containment spray, you don't need to vent the containment. So venting of the containment is only everything fails, then we have to vent. Now when we have to vent the containment, what is the radioactivity inside the reactor building and the steam atmosphere? Part of it only you need to vent actually. So most of the radioactive sources will remain inside the reactor building. Most of it will actually plate out on the surfaces of the components. Now whatever comes out will be through this scrubbing tank. You have already done some scrubbing. Most of the things will actually be in the basement, because if spray has worked even partially, lot of the activity would be already in the basement. So in the steam or air atmosphere, it will not be much. That again will go through scrubber, and we say that there is a decontamination factor of more than 100. So with that, actually, if we imagine that in case of Fukushima, if their level of radioactivity had got reduced by only a factor of 100, lot of the problems would have been not be present at all. One mistake which happened in Fukushima is, in case of the isolation condenser, they had an isolation condenser like in Tarapur. Tarapur 1-2 isolation condenser is very reliable. They had a procedure to do some throttling. Actually, in case of any accident, we have to think unidirectional. It is like driving a car or scooter. First thing one must learn is to press the brake and put both the feet on the ground to stop the vehicle. In case of nuclear event, first shut down the reactor. There are 3 safety functions. One is shutting down the reactor. Second is lining up the heat sink. Third is ensuring containment healthiness. So we only have to think about how to, so they should not have done the throttling, because they ended up, when the valve was closed, that time the power supply went. So they had a heat sink which did not, which did not get utilized. What we say is very simple. Shut down the reactor, push water, only think about heat sink. Think unidirectional. It's very simple if we think like that. Okay. Do you want to see anything? Okay. Anyone? 2 minutes? Okay. We can. Okay, this will give you a feel of that facility, plus how we can simulate the remote tooling challenges. Metro model is actually, they had a very simple concept. They said that per day loss, in case of a delay in, per day delay, what is the loss in terms of future revenue generation or profit? So like phase one, they came out with figure some 4 crore per day is the loss. So now if you have to spend little bit extra, spend that, but don't make loss to happen. They had more like, you can say, similar to Reliance approach. They have only focused on, if required, spend little more, but don't lose more. But we get a response that no, we have to follow contract. Then it is difficult, because we expect certain small deviations to happen. This is what I am saying, that we can simulate many of the challenges beforehand. Okay, I will close this.
Hasn't this similar model been employed in past in the racks?
Which one?
Similar model, if you say stop loss, or rather prevent future losses. Has it been done in past?
You are right, but with change in. Yeah, but in between all these, you know, cry wolf scams have happened and people have become ultra cautious. You know the thing, that policy paralysis has happened everywhere. So we are, all of us, there was some sort of a thing in DAE, now I don't know whether it is there, that... Okay, I will.
Let us stop. Of course, we can continue discussions even at the table. So, we have this tradition of giving a small from us. This is taken to one of the TFR.
Okay, good. Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you.